call this meeting to order. We have to have a little change. I was informed by the attorney that we need to have our opening of our meeting before we can go to a public hearing. So, Eric, would you like to lead us in play?
Eric Anderson.
Here.
April Bingo.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Debbie Casino.
Here.
Colleen Stone.
Here.
Steve Tremblay.
Here.
This time here, we're going to move into a public hearing. So we're going to have a short statement from our superintendent and from one of our board members, and we'll have it open to the public.
Thank you. For those in, here for the public hearing on the Code of Conduct, as a reminder, the large Code of Conduct policy was previously adopted last month by the board, but at my request at that time, we pulled out the smaller section which dealt with the student dress code, largely because there's been questions throughout over the years, many years, relative to the student dress code and its impact on individual students and or perceptions of the code itself. So we didn't want to hold up the adoption of the regular, the full code of conduct, but also wanted to give due diligence to a hearing on that particular piece. So that was pulled out. A subcommittee of the policy committee of the board actually took up the issue in a discussion that was open to the public, specifically focusing on the student dress code. And at that time, the conversation with the dress code was to examine what is in there now and what conversations or suggestions to change would be involved. The subcommittee then prepared for the board's review, for adoption, quite frankly, the code of conduct affecting student dress code. However, it seemed appropriate in talking with Mr. Lavarendo that an additional public hearing be held in the event that there was more comments to be made from anywhere, actually, the floor or the board, relative to the proposed code of conduct affecting the dress code. And that brings us to this time of the evening that we're at right now. Mr. Anderson, have I captured?
Yep.
Yep.
In general, when the policy committee met, it included several board members, also some of the principals. Mr. Amo, we also had a parent who attended as well, some of the principals, one of the principals who was not able to attend because he was out of town, also gave his feedback, answered some questions via email. So we had a lengthy meeting discussing what the current dress code was, and then moving from that, figuring out where we want to go and what we kind of were allowed and not allowed to do. There was some talk about, well, you know, can we go with let's say uniforms? And it was decided, well, that's actually really not even an option at a public school. So we talked a few different things, and then this is what we our student dress code that we have that was included in attachments. If anybody's wasn't able to see it online or would like to see a copy, I have a copy here I could show you.
Any questions from the audience? Well, we have 10 minutes anyway if people have any questions.
Have they seen the dress code?
Have they seen it? Well, he just offered to show it to them.
Yeah.
I know it is. If you go to the agenda, it was one of the attachments to the agenda that was available to the public. So, but again, not everybody does that. So, I mean, I have a copy. You know, it's not even a page long. So if anybody did have any concerns, it was not radical changes. I think it was more simplifications. We didn't. Most of the wording changes were a few minor changes, such as the Dignity for All Act, including that language. And then, in all honesty, talking about what is the goal, which is, you know, we don't want distractions. We don't want people wearing distracting clothes. So how do we accomplish that was the primary concern.
I think just to sum it up, what the changes were, just clearly states that the chest area, your torso, and your butt will be covered, and no underwear can be shown. So basically, it isn't saying you can't wear this, you can't wear that. It's, you know, you gotta be covered. Your underwear can't show. You can't cover every piece of clothing. But that's the intent of the dress code, and that's the way it was written.
I do have a question because I don't see the parents that were here before, but I know what their concern was. How they determine the appropriate length of a pair of shorts, has that changed or?
Yes. In fact, I received an email from Mr. Rock. He was actually the parent who attended the meeting, so he had his input and he felt satisfied. The reason we removed it was partly his concern, but partly in discussions with Mr. Amo, it was determined that we have to have a reason why we object to a certain item of clothing. Mm-hmm. Clearly, distraction is the main mm-hmm. issue, which is, you know, underwear showing, a chest showing, midsection, whatever. So that's why if you look at the language, our simple thing was basically, let me see if I can read it. Recognize the chest, midsection, and buttocks shall be covered at all times. Mm-hmm. Ensure that undergarments are completely covered with outer clothing. Mm-hmm. So it removes the short length because, again, it's not so much the short length, it's the issue of what would be. So if the principal felt that it was showing, then that would be the issue.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
We tried to come up with an enforceable code.
I have a question. Was there any discussion about religious diversity in that? Like, what if we start getting students that need to wear kufis or yarmulkes or burqas or crosses?
There is.
Is that going to be impeded in this dress code?
No. At least in regards to head coverings especially, there is a special mentioning, except for medical or religious reasons. So that was in the dress code before. I'd say one of the issues we did deal with is that we ended up having four different dress codes currently in the mix, and so one of the things we all agreed was that it should be one dress code, so we simplified everything to be one dress code. So the code of conduct, the student handbooks that will go out to all the schools, it will all be the same.
I have just one other question. What about society's change, as we all know they do? What about diversity as far as if we start getting students who are live a different lifestyle, and per se, if for some reason we have a male student that chooses to want to dress like a lady, or would that be in violation of the dress code?
Based on from what I can see, no, it would not, because again, this is one of those issues that I think was brought up from a legal standpoint, which is we can't tell students how to dress. What we can do is we can be concerned about things such as distractions and other things of that nature.
Distractions and safety, we can't impose our moral ethic on the student.
So even if I wanted them to all show up in a suit and tie, even if that was my preference, let's say, and even if the whole board says that's our preference, we wouldn't actually have that authority. There was even some discussion along with, for example, the hats, which is the reason we are not allowing students to wear hats is basically it was decided a safety precaution, because oftentimes students will, you know, if somebody was to get into a fight or anything like that and they've got a hat, you know, with cameras and things of that nature that we have in school, you wouldn't be able to see what's going, you know, who was that? You know, who are these? So I believe it was determined that you can wear hats up until school starts. So that way, you know, students are coming in the first thing in the morning when it's obviously cold. Okay. So we did try it. We tried to address those things, but with what we are allowed and not allowed to do.
In 3 years down the road, we're probably looking at it again because things change.
You don't have to wait.
We don't have to wait.
You didn't distinguish any time between the start of your public session and your regular meeting.
Is there any other questions for us for the dress code for this public hearing? If there's no other discussion, we're going to move on to the regular meeting.
Doing his formality.
Oh, you need a motion to close this hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We have some changes here as far as for the agenda. C and D are need to be reversed on page one. On page two, under B, item one, we've got to add Yvette Nanny as a library aide, effective 9/3/12, resignation.
Manning?
Yvette Nanny, yes.
So that you have addition to your contract.
What's the date again? 9/12/12?
9/3/12.
What's the letter?
Yeah, there's a letter. On page four, item L, the salary is on Susan Relation, $17.95, and on Sandra Duquette, $16.81. On item N, Yvette Manning is being put in as a teacher aide, student aide, effective 9/14 for 10 months. 9/4/12 for 10 months at the rate of $16,136.09. She's got a probationary period from 9/4/12 to 12/12/13.
That would be a, that'll be number O.
Oh, that
letter
would be,
O.
It'll be separate.
Just one then?
Yeah, it's a separate resolution.
Okay.
Just read it through and we'll get there.
Okay, so there's a new one.
Is that it?
Yep. Wait a minute. Yes, that's it.
I move to approve the agenda with the changes.
Okay. Richard and Eric. Any discussion? All in favor?
I did want to have a quick discussion, which is that I still strongly kind of feel that in the case of the board member discussion that we're going to have soon, that it would be much better to follow at least public comment to give the public a chance to voice their opinions, concerns, either in favor or not in favor of certain options.
Okay. Wishes of the board. Are we approving this as is, or are we changing
it? My motion is to approve it as it was.
Yeah, I have to approve it as it is.
All in favor?
Aye, we already did.
Against?
No.
Okay, I didn't hear everybody. Could we go one more time?
We have a roll call.
Okay, why don't we go with a roll call on that?
Read the motion again.
To approve the agenda with the changes in it.
Oh, the agenda. Yes. We're approving the agenda with the changes. Okay.
Yeah. Roll call on that.
Eric Anderson?
No.
April Bingo?
No.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Debbie Pasno?
No.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trembley?
Yes.
So it passes. Okay. The next item is board member discussion and a possible vote for a new board member.
Did you want to go around?
Just go ahead and say what you want to say.
Yeah, whatever it is that you want to say.
Well, I think we should first discuss what our options are. I know in our last board meeting, it sounded like our options were do nothing and not appoint somebody. We could choose to appoint somebody. We have a special election. Or we could ask the district, or I mean the BOCES superintendent to appoint it, or if anybody asked the BOCES superintendent.
Well, let me give
are
you...
Those,
let me,
are those the five options?
No.
But let me give you a little thing on the fires for what you said about the district superintendent. He was contacted today and said in all the years that he's been here, he has never had to appoint a board member for any school district. It's always been taken care of by the board.
Okay. Well, my questions are, what are our options? Not what has he done, but I was reading through some minutes from the 2008, I think this last time something like this occurred, and it sounded like Joe LaRondo put forth that it wasn't actually those five options, that we actually only had three, which was special election, appoint somebody ourselves, or have the district superintendent appoint somebody.
Those are
so
your
we
only
don't three. Have an option not to fill.
No, those are your only three. Right. There never was an option not to fill.
Well, I'm describing what occurred on the 8th, on August 7th. I know you weren't there, Steve, but that was what we originally were kind of talked about. And now, that's why I'm just trying to clarify it so that not only do I understand, but anybody in the audience understands that those were three options.
You got a point of information on that. He doesn't appoint, does he? He has to request that we fill it. He doesn't appoint.
At this time, Joe, could you give us your opinion?
The education law gives the Board of Education, in the event of a vacancy, as in this case, the power to either appoint an individual to serve for a period of 1 year. That person would have to serve at the end of the year, would have to be elected again at the end of that year to continue, or to call a special election. And in the event that the board fails to appoint or call a special election within 90 days of the date of vacancy, then the district superintendent would have the power to appoint an individual to fill that vacancy.
So if we made no decision in 90 days, then that would be
that's correct. Hand. Exactly. Or if you had a situation where the board was deadlocked, essentially tied, although you can't have a tie, but I guess you could. In this case, you could. Then that might be a situation, Eric, where the district superintendent would step in.
Yes, I'd like to I'd like to put forth Mr. Marin. Let me give you my reasons. I can see a lot of head shaking, but first of all, Mr. Marin has three children in the district, so he does have an interest in this district. Mr. Marin owns his own business, his own company, and he's familiar with financial matters. Okay? Mr. Marin is an engineer. He has helped immensely dealing with contractors, builders, and agencies that the board or even the superintendent has nothing, didn't really know the answers to. Mr. Marin came up with the answers. He's worked well with the board during his past tenure. And Mrs. Armstrong, being a veteran member of the board, was placed on several committees that were complicated committees. Mr. Marin, having the experience of the board, could step right in there and take over the committees. And finally, everyone wanted public input, okay? The public had its input. If Mrs. Armstrong had resigned prior to the election, Mr. Marin would be sitting on the board now because the public voted him in number four. Okay, so they had their input. Now, on that reasoning, I would like to make a motion to appoint Mr. Marin to fill the vacant position on the Board of Education left by the resignation of Mrs. Armstrong, effective immediately and running until the next Board of Education election.
There's a motion.
I'll second. Ooh, we could be discussing.
Still got to be discussion.
Yeah. No, you got to be discussion.
Yeah. Second.
Okay. Second by Richard.
Does she have to modify that? Because it actually ends July 1st.
No.
Okay.
It's through the election. It's through the election.
Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not putting Mr. Marin forward because he's a pick that I want to take. The people who wanted to be on the board ran, and the public voted. So for this year, they voted. We don't need another special election. They voted. He got the next most. He got over 500 votes. 50 people sending me a petition isn't a vote. Over 500 people voted for that man. So if we're going to fill the position, to me, it's only fair that we put the next highest voted person on there. Because anybody else you bring forward did not come forward to run for the board. They didn't bother to go get signatures. Didn't bother to go talk to people. They weren't interested. So now why should we entertain it now? Why do you care now when you didn't care 3 months ago? So the people who ran and put forth the effort and did their, you know, they went out and got their signatures and took the time, that's the pool of people we should look at. And the people should get the next highest person that they voted for, because over 500 people voted for the man. So why would I want to take someone off the street who wasn't even voted for? That's not asking the public what they want. They did vote. So just within a year, to me, it's only common sense and fair to the people who ran that you take the next person on the list by vote count. To me, it's not rocket science. It's not picking sides. That's what the people voted. And that's the way I feel.
Well, I want to say a couple things. First of all, we never even discussed what the cost of a special election was.
Okay. Would you like me to give you that right now?
I think it would help.
I think it would help the people to understand.
You know,
okay, the cost of having a special election in May of 2012 was $2,986.66. The cost to have a special election with no mailings required right now is an estimate of around $1,800.
So $1,800.
Yep.
Okay. So
I mean, it's an estimate.
I understand. So I'm thinking $1,800 to give people the chance to vote. It's pretty cost effective. Now, as for Mr. Marin being number four, there's a few variables that aren't being considered. First of all, there was three seats open, which determined necessarily who ran. I'll use myself as an example. Before Carol Wake stepped down, I had no intentions of running. I mean, you can based on how I campaigned, you can tell I planned on supporting Debbie Nathan. I would not have run, but yet I did run and I came in second. So there's that thing to consider. So as certain individuals, due to political reasons, may not have chose to put their name to the hat, though they would have if there had been four positions. Secondly, you would have every individual who voted, all 1,500, would have another vote. Now, would that have changed the results? I don't know. What I'm saying is to use, simply put, that because he was number four, that the people have spoken, the people have not spoken. And then finally I'll say, I can almost assuredly say I did not get every single one of my votes because everybody personally knew me or in some way had some, you know, said Eric is the greatest guy. Now, I'm sure there was many votes who said, I don't want somebody who's currently on the board, so I'm going to vote for a change. And so to simply put that it is, he was number four. And then I'll lastly say that in 2008, that was not how the board chose to replace the individual at that time. And there are existing board members here who were on the board at that time.
How did we replace it?
You feedback from the community. You had people bring in their names. Ed Marin was one of the names on there. But was not chosen. There were several individuals. I think there was two finalists, as appeared like in the minutes. One of them was voted down. The other one was voted in favor.
I would like to answer you one on that.
Yes, I would. I
don't think we had any board members there that didn't run at that time.
There were three people who ran.
Were they interested in coming on?
Again, I don't know. I wasn't there. So I saw nothing in the minutes that discussed that, but I'm just given.
Is that the year Mr. Falcon was on for 1 year?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not quite sure how the minutes and all that read, but I brought his name forward because none of the other board members wanted to run. I brought his name forward that night. He was voted in that night. No discussion, no anything else. Nobody else wanted it.
No, when his name was brought forth, there was two people who were voted on, and there was, in addition, there was about six people who were listed as having put their name in.
All I could do is remember what I'm the one who brought his name forward. There may have been more than one.
That was a Tabor.
No, we have a motion forward in a second, so we'd have to vote on
it. Well, we're going to, yeah.
Yeah. April, did you have anything on the second?
Yes. I would agree with much of what Eric said. It's hard to pick apart the variables on the past election, and although it seems simplest just to say yes, he's the fourth vote receiver, and that would be the simple way to go. I tend to gravitate towards simple answers. However, we've received enough feedback from the community through emails and phone calls, etc. And in 08, it was handled in a slightly different way. I think we have an opportunity here to give that some consideration.
Well, it will be the decision of the board, whatever way it goes. Pauline, do you have anything you want to say? Because I'm just coming around. Steve?
I guess I'll use my first comment to mention that I know we do have new board members, and I hope we're going to continue with, it's not a written policy, but it's an agreement that we have with the board that on any given subject, especially a subject that's going to create some controversy, we each speak twice on it. We have two chances to speak, and then after that, that's it, because we could go on for hours and hours and hours on one subject. So that's kind of a thing that's been in board in the 10 years that I've been on. I hope we're going to continue to do that, but that's up to the president, I guess. That's just my comment on that. And I personally don't know what this whole controversy is about. Seems to me that everything's a controversy now. We've got 50 people who sent in the petition. I got the emails. Seems to me it's the same 50 people who complain every time we do anything. Every time we do anything. And I'm sorry, I'm going to be the bad guy here tonight, but that's just the way it goes. Same people that complain every time. There was, what, 1,800 people or whatever that voted in the election? 50 people does not change my mind. No intentions of going any different. I'm not spending $1,800 for another election. We have somebody who's willing to come on that's experienced. It's a one-year thing. We had three new board members this year. You're going to have three new board members next year or three new positions available next year. To me, I don't see the difference. Board needs to get back to running the school instead of arguing all the time.
To give you an answer on the total, it was 4,605 votes cast.
Sorry, I wasn't even close. I'll only make one comment.
Debbie?
Okay. I have nothing personal against Mr. Marin. I think Mr. Marin's a pretty decent guy. He seems like a real nice guy. I just have issue with the process. We learned about this a week ago, and the same night that we learned it about the resignation, mm-hmm. we were told that this was what was going to be proposed. There was no discussion, or if there's been discussion, I haven't been included in any of it about any other option other than this. There was no research. When I spoke with you the other day, you had no idea about the cost of a special election or, you know, what the procedure was, because I think it was just far removed from anyone's mind that we would even pursue another avenue. And that to me, it's about the process. It's not about looking to argue with people. We all sit here and say we were elected to represent the people, mm-hmm. and yet it seems like all too often we ignore that from this side of the table, and people are asking to be involved. At the very least tonight, I would have liked to have been able to have public comment before we had all of this, so that at least people could feel like they were being heard. That's my issue. It's not with Mr. Mayor, and it's about our process, and that's all I'm going to say.
I actually would like to make reference to the Beat Me Town accountability page, and I think part of the animosity of this decision is coming from a specific person. Part of the conversation was, and I'm not quoting, was that they feel that if we appoint Ed Marin, that we're setting a precedent so we can bring back Mr. Karofsky. And I don't think that is the that, yes, believe it or not, it's out there on Facebook, public media. And I think that is a real misconception. It's no master plan. It's not a conspiracy. It only makes sense. It is a 9-month commitment, and not to exceed that. If Mr. Marin is disappoints the community, they can quite easily replace him in May. But I think that he's done an exemplary job. I think he's fair-minded. I think that he has always voted. His conscience has not been manipulated or pulled into special interest groups. So I truly believe that he is a fair representation of our community. That's what I feel.
Well, I want to add to what you said there. I know he has his own family that's here in this school, and same as Eric does, and they've got a great interest here. Mm-hmm. So adding to what everybody else said, that's all I can add to it. Yeah, go ahead. No, it's your turn again.
Okay, I got a second. Since it's brought up, and I'm tired of always skirting the issue, this is all about United for Kids wanting to get another board member on. That's all it's about. It's what it's about. That's who would have come forward. I know. I'm just tired of the. But that's what we're dancing around. If the person would have came up would be someone that they want. That's all it's about. And you keep talking about the numbers. Well, I had a bunch of people on my mail who come to talk to me after United for Kids represented, talk to them and tell them that teachers were teaching two classes and putting out things that weren't true. And that's why so many people voted against incumbents, because they were being told things that weren't true. So the numbers, you're saying the numbers vary. They do. People believe what you tell them. So now we're bad people because we're going to put a guy who got 500 votes in there over somebody who didn't? I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that. They voted. And if you want somebody else, run somebody next year. That's the way it is.
How do you follow that up? I mean, really,
you
have to respectfully disagree with those kind of comments. Those
I'm surprised.
Really don't get anybody anywhere and aren't professional on any level. So I think we need to step our professionalism up a notch and just make it clear. Again, I don't have any. I think Mr. Marin's a decent guy and all the things that everybody else said as well. This is more just about the process of going about it, and people are looking for a more open process. And we did receive feedback from the community asking for that. So, that's who, how I got here. So that's, I am going to listen to that feedback. I'm not sure, if everybody else, that doesn't matter to them, or they want to make a decision one way or another without that feedback. I guess that's up to them, but I will take that into account.
Okay. Eric? I think I spoke enough on this.
Okay. Steve? Debbie?
I think that the remarks like that are not...
it's on there.
Are not... excuse me, my turn.
Yes.
Remarks like what you just made are uncalled for, and they're not productive. And if we're going to make this whole year or the upcoming term an us versus them, we're not going to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish here, Red. And there's just too much to do for this kind of pettiness. And I agree that we have to step it up a notch. People feel the way they do about this issue for whatever reason. You have your opinion. Everyone else on here has theirs. And right now, our job is just to respectfully listen to one another and to listen to the people that put us here, and that would be the people that are out there, whether you like them personally or not. The people out there put us all here. So there's not anything wrong with seeking their input or listening to it. Thank you.
Kathy?
Okay. I was actually under the impression when I read that prefab statement that came with everyone who signed up on that petition, that it was to leave the seat vacant. And that's not really a choice that we have. So I think that as a board, it's our responsibility, and that's part of the responsibility we're given by the community and by New York State, is to resolve our vacancy and appoint a person.
All right, we've each had our, mm-hmm. I've got nothing else to say. Ready to bring it to a vote, and I would ask for a roll call vote, please.
Okay, so the resolution is to appoint Ed Marin effective immediately until May 21st, 2013. Eric Anderson?
No.
April Bingo?
No.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Debbie Passmore?
No.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Keith Trombley?
Yes.
Motion passed. Ed, would you want to come forward and be sworn in?
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear that you will uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and you will faithfully discharge the duties as a member of the Board of Education of the Uniontown Central School District to the best of your ability.
I do.
Yes. Congratulations, Ed.
I brought an extra agenda tonight. I don't know who's going to get it.
If he doesn't have a copy, yeah. Okay, next is public comment. You have 5 minutes for public comment. Yes, state your name, please.
Ken Maurer. I just want to congratulate the board on their decision. A while back, I made a comment when there was a vote to exclude some of the newer members from a vote until they had their seats taken. And I said that there was votes cast for those individuals, and we had to honor the voting process. Well, I ran against Mr. Moran. He got more votes than I did. He was number four to come in, and we did two things today. We selected a good man to this board, and we honored almost 500 votes. Now, whether people get along with Mr. Moran or not, I don't care. But you people are here to do a job. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll probably never be on that school board because I don't pull my punches. You got to stop the petty junk. Just stop it. Sometimes comments are better kept to yourselves or sent to one another off-site, not in front of the public, because we get the wrong impression. I'm very proud of you, Mr. Moran. I think you're a good man. I think the board made a good decision. That's one of the things I was going to bring up tonight. I was going to say just go with the number four man. If he didn't want to go with the number five, if it got to me, I'd have taken it. But let's have a good board. Forget all that junk. All that other organizations that are out there backing candidates. They're people in the community. They have a right to back the candidates. They have their viewpoints. We don't have to agree with them. I don't agree with a lot of junk that goes on in the public. But you individuals are here to work for us, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of all of you, because it's hard. It's hard to sit up there and take the junk from us. All right? Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody? Yes.
Hi, my name is Nancy Cody, and I've been a resident of this town my whole entire life. Normally, being in business, I try not to get involved into this sort of thing. I came here this evening with the intention, if it came to a special election, I have every intention of donating $1,800 to pay for that election for this group. Because I feel that the community members had a right to vote. When I voted, no offense, Ms. Stone, but when I voted for three candidates. It was what was put forth before me, the same thing that came when we did the special election, when the numbers were wrong. I voted what was put forth before me, okay? I cast my votes accordingly, and I threw my support accordingly. And it was only right, I felt, as a community member and for this society and everybody who lives and works within our district to go ahead and give that opportunity to the public. At least give the options that are out there. To be silenced is highly insulting. It's an insult to this school. It's an insult to the community. It's an insult to this board. I just cannot fathom how any one of you can sit here and cast stones because somebody's a member of this. What's the next thing? Color somebody's skin, I don't like you. Somebody's Jewish, you don't like them. I mean, you're casting, you're blaming, you're saying somebody voted, they were already previous. Okay, what about the option? No offense, Mr. Marin. I think you're a wonderful man, and I think you do a good job, and you could represent well. But your election was over. people voted. They voted for three people what was put forth before you. If everybody's argument is that Mr. Marin was qualified, he's been on the board, well, you had other people that were previous board members that maybe would have stepped up and filled that board seat. They were familiar with the laws and the education laws and the due process, but none of that was given an option. And I'm just sorry that you felt and that this board, Mr. King, felt that we had to be silenced in the manner we were because there were other options.
Thank you. Okay, carrying on. Item 3, report, Superintendent of Schools.
I've been sitting, we have a pretty full agenda.
You're going to close public comment that quickly?
There's 5 minutes to begin with. There's a 15 minute later on.
I don't. I was saying that given the length of the items on the agenda, I didn't prepare any additional new comments. I think pretty much everything is, we got a full plate.
School business executive.
The only item that I wanted to bring up on the agenda, we did have a recent annual bid proposal out there for the trash removal and recycling services. We have on the agenda the little bidder on that. And just to keep apples and apples, to remind everybody, in the past, we've always been on a September 1 year through 8/31. And what happens with that contract year is it overlaps the school fiscal year. So in the bid specifications this year, we changed the contract year so that it ends on June 30th, so that next year will be on a contract year that matches the school year. There was a small decrease in the bid. Some of you may or may not recall, I don't know if it was 18 months ago or a little bit more, we went to a zero sort recycling program. You may have read about it in the paper, Clinton Community College. Several other institutions have done this so that we have trash containers, half an hour for trash and half are actually for recycling. It saves on labor time here, but it also saves on landfill fees, and that's dropped our annual contract prices to several thousand dollars. That's the only item that I have.
Okay. We have committee reports. Any committee reports? Operations, I know you met tonight.
Yeah. We had a discussion, if anybody saw our agenda, about the natural gas. After some discussion, the operations committee decided to just put forth a request to NYSEG for just stating that we would be interested in natural gas if it came up all the way up the Spelman Road. We'd be interested in finding out the cost. We would give them the number of gallons we're going to use per year, and that's at no cost to the district. That wouldn't cost us anything. And after we give this was a request by the town board. The town is trying to get natural gas to the industrial park, come up through the town hall, Route 9 north up toward Drew's Poultry, and then back up to Spelman Road. And one of the major players in this would be the school. But we have no cost analysis, no cost figures, no anything yet. So this is just a request we're going to put forth for NYSEG to start the process and see if they want to or they're willing to get us some prices. So once it becomes a cost issue or a money issue, we will report immediately to the board and let you know what's going on with that. The only other item we really discussed a little bit is met with the representative from the Dodge Library too. Just they were asking some questions again about how that process is going. We've had some Mr. Amel and Mr. Noonan have really had some trouble getting a realtor to come in there that's willing to come in at no cost to the district, which really surprised me. I thought that most of the realtors came in and they didn't get their fee until they sold the place, but we're going to continue to work on that. That is why the building is not up for sale yet. But we gave assurances to the Dodge Library again that the building for sale did not include that building or their media land that they were on, and that if somebody was interested in purchasing it, they would have to work out the details for water and sewer with the new owners. We will have to get into more discussion down the road if the building does not sell. We'll give it a good time frame for get it on the market and sell. Also, if we cannot put it on the market without a cost to the district, we will also bring that back to the board to see if they want to pay somebody to put it, to pay a realtor to put it on the market for us. We'll have to have that discussion at a later time. That was about it. The summer projects are moving along. Parking lot was done. Dan has a few other projects that he has he will be finishing up. I did believe he said the track will be lined by the end of this week or the beginning of next week. The track should be lined, and that will be done and ready for when school starts.
Yeah. Is there any other reports from anybody? Cassie, did you have any reports? Okay, we'll move on. And item four, resolve that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting the Board of Education held on 7-10 and 8-7-12. Richard?
I'll second it.
Second, Steve? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item B, resolve that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meetings held on 6-19 operations, 7-24 policy, 7-24 audit, 8-7. Okay. Motion
second.
Mayor. Seconded by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I have it. New business. A, CSE, CPSE recommendations. A, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendations dated 8-14-12.
Motion.
He said first, you're second. Richard first, Debbie second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. B, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of CPSE recommendations dated 8-14-12. Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Eric?
Second.
Second, and Debbie? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Personnel resignations. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to accept the following resignations on the dates indicated.
Move the list.
Richard? Second. Seconded by Pauline. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Appointments. Resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following fall athletic appointments for 2012-13 season.
Motion.
Motion by Richard. Seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Again? Ayes have. Item B, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointments as indicated. Richard?
Second.
Seconded by Pauline. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Motion.
Motion by Debbie. Second. Seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item D, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve a letter of agreement between Campbell Health Psychological and the Beatontown Central School District to provide consultation services from 9-6-12 to 6-21-13 as indicated on the IEPs for the total amount not to exceed $30,000 pending approval of the 611 and 619 grants.
Motion. Second.
Motion by Eric, seconded by Richard. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item E, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve a letter of agreement between Adirondack Helping Hands and the Beatontown Central School District to provide music therapy twice weekly for a 30-minute each session for the 2012-13 school year at a cost not to exceed $4,000.
Motion. Second.
Motion by Richard, seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. F, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve a letter of agreement between Gina Grabman physical therapist in the Beatontown Central School District to provide 6 sessions of physical therapist services during the summer of 2012 as indicated on the student's IEP at a rate of $60 per hour. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. G, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve a letter of agreement between Doreen Burke, speech teacher at the and the Beatontown Central School District to provide a maximum of 5 hours of speech evaluation during the summer of 2012 at an hourly wage. Motion?
I'll make a motion, but I'd like to know what the hourly rate is.
I'll second it.
Yeah. Seconded by Steve. Discussion.
Well, how much is it?
It's going to be based upon whatever step she's on in the BTA contract.
So
I don't know off the top of my head, I can't
contract?
Tell you. Right.
Oh, because she's a part of a district. That's
because
correct.
It's not part of the norm. It's on here because it's not part of the 10-month school year. It's part of the right. summer session, so it's not part of the contract. It's extra. And that was something that the comptrollers had written about in the past, was we had some extra services that had gone through without board authorization, so we're trying to be really careful so that all extra services we bring up for the board to authorize.
So if it's an employee that's doing the summer service, we can't have a set summer service price. We have to pay them at their job rate.
It depends, because we have some that were negotiated for summer school services, but there may be some for 12-month student. I don't know the difference between the two. The main difference is if it's being paid general fund budget monies, we follow negotiated practices. The only time there might be different negotiated amounts is if it's subject to grant limitations. And so the summer school SED sets rates, predetermined rates for that. So that's why there's discrepancies. But if there's no limitation put on by an SED grants finance department, then we follow negotiated rates through the BTA contract.
Any more questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item H, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve a letter of agreement between Sharon Tyrell, speech teacher, and the Beatontown Central School District to provide a maximum of 8 hours of speech evaluation during the summer of 2012 at an hourly wage.
Motion.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy.
Assume same reason.
Same reason.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item I. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint Rachel Roberts to a 10-month competitive civil service title of 60% physical therapist, effective 9/1/12 with a salary of $29,236.20 for 2012-13 school year. Mrs. Roberts' probationary period will be from 9/4/12 to 12/12/13.
Motion
by Richard, seconded by Eric.
So what does that really translate to? What does that mean, a 60% therapist?
60% of it's not a 100% position. It's like half time.
Is service, it's 60% is the amount of service time that the individual will be contracted for. And
so it's not a set amount weekly per se. It's
no,
as
the
schedule
of an IEP or changes to an IEP during the year, which would increase or decrease services. But there's no particular time, like on a Monday, every Monday at 3 o'clock
right.
or whatever.
Okay.
Their schedule is driven entirely by the need, and it's Mr. Short's estimation that the need would be satisfied. The needs of our existing population would be met. Any 60% position, and should, you know, in future that changes up or down, I'd be coming back with a different kind of recommendation.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any more questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. J, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following individuals to attend CSE meeting during the summer of 2012 at a rate of $35 per hour for a maximum of 4 hours each.
Move the list.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Okay, resolved that the superintendent of the schools recommends to the Board of Education to remove Susan Relation and Sandra Duquette as a provisional school lunch cashier effective August 6, 2012.
Motion.
Second. Motion by Richard, seconded by Pauline. Question?
Not a question, just a comment. That it was the reason we're doing this is because they, for whatever reason, they didn't pass the civil service testing or something along those lines, so that's why we're having to bring it back to provisional.
And the issuance of a new exam is entirely up to civil service. When they do that, we don't have any control over when they issue an exam. Given that the probationary period is over, we have to take some kind of action and afford them the chance to test again whenever it's provided.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. L, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service provisional appointments effective September 6, 2012, as indicated.
Who's this? Second.
Who was that?
Eric
was first. Second for Richard. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item M, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated.
Motion.
Richard?
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item N, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
Second.
Richard and Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the Yvette Manning teacher aide, student aid, effective 9/4/12, 10 months. Motion by Richard. Seconded by Kathy. Any questions on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Tenure. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following tenure appointment effective on the date indicated.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Pauline, seconded by Richard. Questions?
Some discussion.
Yeah.
As a new board member, I didn't really feel like I have a lot of information on Mr. Slattery. As I sent an email, I'd really prefer to have some sort of executive session so we could discuss it. One of my concerns is that Mr. Amos seems to be very, feel Mr. Slattery is doing a very good job. When I was reviewing test scores of Beekmantown Elementary, Coburn Hill Elementary, and comparing them to New York State, we seem to be definitely struggling. There seems to be some real issues as far as things dropping off. Even so, we don't have the tests yet for 2011-2012. So it seems to me, given the importance of the issue, I would feel a lot more comfortable at least delaying until we had 11-12 results and perhaps had a chance as a board to meet together to talk with him, either to talk with him or talk with Mr. Amo, ask some of these questions, get some of these answers so that I feel when I make this decision, which I consider a very important decision, that I feel I have enough information to make that decision.
Any other questions?
I had also, I don't know who checks email, but I had also emailed to that effect as well, requesting an executive session just to ask a couple of questions.
Have to make a motion for one.
Motion's already on the table.
Motion.
You got to vote on motion.
You can ask to table it. If the board decides that they want to table it, we will have to vote after we're going into executive session after.
Right.
And this would have to, but it's up to the board. It's a board decision.
Now, how would the table work? We have a motion, but
you have to bring up.
You make a motion, get a second, and vote on it.
Well, we already have a motion to.
You can postpone this one.
We have to first tabled. How do we go about that, Joe?
I think you can move to amend it, and that would supersede.
You'd have to amend.
I think the table until after the executive session.
So I have to make a motion to amend.
You would have to request that they amend their motion to table the, to table this until the end of the meeting.
Until after the break.
Who made the motion?
Paul.
I did.
My second, well, what's the opinion of the majority of the board? What's the, I mean, what's the board feel? I mean, I'll do it.
Well, you can bring it before they will vote yes or no if they're going to amend it.
If you want to amend your motion.
If you want to amend your motion, the board will decide if they want to amend your motion.
Since it got brought up, we shouldn't.
I would like to bring before that motion, to ask that it be amended.
I have not heard a second.
Second.
Seconded by Debbie. Okay. What are the wishes of the board? Do they?
I don't need to wait. To me, it's how many people want us to wait or not. That's what we got to find out.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote.
And this is on whether or not to amend it.
To amend it.
To table it.
Point of order. There's a motion on the floor from Polly Stone. There's a second from Richard Levine to approve the motion as written. But it hasn't been carried or anything. Now you just made another motion to amend it by two different people.
Did we move it?
Yeah, you can't. No, but no.
No, it has to be up to Pauline.
Pauline would have to amend her motion if she wants to.
I can make the request, is what you're saying. I can't make a motion. I have a request for Pauline.
Well, I would want to see how the board feels first, whether they want to be removed my request or not.
You can't do it. You got to either amend it or not.
You either amend it or you don't amend it.
So it's all in my head.
yours and the second.
There's two of you.
Well, I say not to amend it.
Okay. Doesn't matter what I'm saying then.
That ends it right there. Okay, you got any more?
Get a vote on it.
That there's no now. Whatever it was that was brought forward,
Pauline's.
We're back to Pauline's.
We're going to vote on it.
If there's any more question on this here,
I guess I'm just confused as to why this is a problem to request some additional discussion about this, just to clarify a few things. You have to take into account, like Eric said, you know, we're new to this board. There are some questions that don't get answered by simply what we've been given in this packet. We're not asking to deny this gentleman anything. We're just asking to have some more information.
Well, the way I feel is, Mr. Amo works very closely. He does evaluations. He's administrators inside and out, and I can't see why anybody would question Mr. Amos putting him up for tenure. You know, it's just, I've been on the board 3 years, this has never been done. I mean, Mr. Amo knows. I mean, I haven't had evaluations with him. Mr. Amo knows his administrators. He knows that, you know, I'm sure if he wasn't doing his job, Mr. Amo would have brought it before the board before this.
This board has taken action with other administrators previously. It just doesn't seem like an unreasonable request. That's all I will say.
That's my reason.
I would think just for a point of, in the future, if you, I don't, maybe people don't get home from work in time on Friday or whatever, but I noticed that the agenda came fairly early on Friday. You would have had Friday afternoon, all day Monday, all day Tuesday to get your questions answered. That's why the agenda is put out there on Friday, and the meeting is not until Tuesday. It's a phone call to the superintendent. I need to sit down and meet with you. I have some real questions about this. That's what you need to do. And then if there's a real question, there's a point before this motion is made where you need to request an executive session, the beginning of the meeting. I needed an executive session at the beginning of the meeting. We go into executive session. You get it approved. We go in and you say, okay, I have a question on item C, B, or part A. That should have been.
I'll just quickly comment on that. I sent an email request to the entire board, including Mr. Amo, asking for an executive session that I had these concerns. Mr. Amo did respond to me. I then further responded to him that I felt that didn't necessarily answer all of my questions. So I understand, maybe I should have asked for an executive session early on. I didn't know that. I figured that was something that was left up to the president to decide when we would go into executive session. So Again, I did specifically request those things because of those concerns. I always will try and do everything I can to get it in front of the board so that people have a chance. They know where I stand. I mean, I think I was pretty clear on my latest email. I know it was very late getting there today, but I try and be very clear on where I stand as far as a given issue and why I want that additional information.
Any other comments?
I just have a comment. If this is going to be something that's going to be happening fairly often, we need to meet and just come up with some kind of way to do it, because I mean, if we're going to say we see 1 year of grades are down, we want to talk about it. Someone else can say, well, this is, the attendance is down, I want to talk about that. We need to have something. I know when you call the superintendent to say you want something, but the whole board has to talk about it. We need to get it where we do.
I think we need to stick to the subject of Matt Slattery, though.
No, I'm saying, though, but if we're going to question it, everybody has to understand how we do it so that it can be done. So that if it only takes one board member calling the superintendent to get an executive session, then everybody needs to know that. You know, and when you do it, how do you do it so that they can do it? Because I don't want to keep doing it during the middle of a meeting.
Well, and that's why the phone call needs to go to the president, saying I'm going to request this at the beginning of the meeting. The president will know that. He can put it in and say, somebody has requested an executive session, somebody's got to make a motion, second it, and then the board's got to agree to it.
Right.
It's as simple as that. Usually at the beginning of the meeting we do that, so that that question can get answered.
Kathy, any comments?
I have no comments.
Ed? Okay, are we ready to bring it to a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Against?
Abstain.
What's your reason for abstaining?
That's another reason. Yeah. You're going to have to go.
I don't have enough information. I make that decision.
That's good.
Okay. Debbie?
I feel that way too.
Okay. Ayes have it. Miscellaneous. A, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agreement between the Champlain Valley Education Services Adult Education Safety and Sponsorship
Motion.
Agreement. Okay, thank you. Second? Second by Pauline. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item B, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the contract between Beatmantown Central School District, Champlain Valley Sports Medicine Rehabilitation Program, Champlain Valley Physicians. Eric? Seconded by Richard. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following novels and adding them
to the list.
No. Richard?
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item D, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve the professional development PDP for 2012-13 school year.
Motion.
Second.
April and Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item I, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education. Oops, sorry. Item G, don't want to go back over that. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the following high school electives for the 2012-13 school year. Richard moved the list. Seconded by Kathy. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Policies. Resolve that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies. Named student dress code section of the code of conduct, number 50.
Second.
Richard and Catherine. Any question on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it.
I'm against.
Oh, you're against? Okay. One against. I still have it. Under financials, Resolved that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee.
Who was?
Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Pauline. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Ayes have it. B, resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the warrant report.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Debbie, seconded by Richard. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the budget transfer report for May and June 2012.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item F, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education will accept the NYSED Employment Preparation Education, EPE, aid allocation for 2012-13 in the amount.
Second. You still have
to. Can I make a motion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just second. Want to skip over.
Yeah. And Richard seconded it. Any discussion? We have a roll call.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Abstain.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
Okay, item E, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to authorize a $100 cash drawer for the tax collector to open the drawer.
Second.
Richard, motion, seconded by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item F, whereas the Board of Education, in accordance with the Article 5A of the General Municipal Law, invited sealed bids for trash removal for the period
motion.
Of 9-1. Richard, move the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any discussion on this? We have a roll call, please.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Additional items to discuss. First is the assistant principal.
Just as a reminder, the assistant principal at the middle school tendered resignation and has since been appointed in a new district, an area district. And the issue of the assistant principal for the absence of that individual is brought forward for, you know, group discussion. There seem to be several options that I'm sure would be of some consideration from the full board to consider. Obviously, they run all the way from necessarily, in my point of view, from the least desirable but doable, if that's the wishes of the board, all the way up to different options. One of the options, of course, when any time a vacancy occurs, is to determine whether or not it should be replaced. That's not an option. That's an option certainly available for your consideration. A second option is consideration of operational or structural responsibilities within the district to determine if the position can be accommodated by diversifying work with existing members. In other words, administrators' assignments being altered so that building has both, this building in particular would have the services part-time, I suppose, of an assistant principal. Another option, obviously, is to pursue the effort to fill the position, and there'd be lots of, a couple of primary ways I think that could be pursued. One of them is the typical, historically the typical way, which is you do an advertisement, you post a position, interviews, individuals are invited to an interview, a board and you know, administration team sit together and interview the candidates and make a decision. In that instance, I would say that it's only prudent to have any applicant for that position or to that particular position, given our fiscal environment, to be aware of its potential, that it potentially would not be a full term, meaning from probation to a tenure recommendation period of time. Thinking that far out into the future might be very difficult for me to recommend a budget to a budget, as well as for the organization, meaning the board, to commit to that. So I think it would be only prudent and upfront to any applicant to just make that notation, that in seeking a position like this, please understand that read the budget reports. You can see what's happened with the district in previous years, and if we go this route, it's for this period of time, and then each year we do our best. Well, another option, spin-off of that same option, could be. It could be, and I haven't researched this a lot. I just know from history a few names came to mind, so I'm thinking there may be more. It might be possible to have the position filled by looking at the teachers who were dismissed and see if there are current teachers who maintain an administrative license who, in fact, would agree to give up or move for 1 year and assume the role of assistant principal, thereby vacating and making possible someone who's lost a position to be able to be certified to keep a position also for 1 year. Again, all the parties in that scenario would need to understand, certainly the individual who is already in a position, a teaching position as an example, who would consider doing that would be giving all the rights and privileges of returning back to that assignment in the event that that's what the future brings, but from a budget point of view. An individual in that scenario who's removed from or has left the district but would otherwise have a chance to be employed again for one more year has its own obvious advantages and positives. But in both of those instances, all parties, the message would be the same. If we want to pursue that approach, it would be the same, that this effort is being taken to fulfill a need for the year that we know about and can't predict the need for the year we don't know about beyond this year. So those are some of the options that I've kicked around, and I think there you have it.
I guess I have kind of a question. We're going to have a retreat Thursday, and we're going to talk about our board goals and where we want to go. I would like to wait until we have that retreat to see where we're going, see how the board feels, and if there's any changes or anything that has to be moved around that the board wants to do that might affect this position. So I'd like, if we could, to postpone it till Thursday and discuss it, say that we can say, okay, this is what it looks like next year. Is that good? Do you want to fill it? Or do we have other things to look at? But if we fill it right away, there's no option.
Just for point of information, I brought it forward not with any expectation or an assumption you would make a decision this evening, as much as think about what the options seem to be as I've thought of them. And if you have any other options, that's why it's under this area for discussion.
Steve? I think I would like to get some input from Mr. Amo, get some input from the administrators that this is going to affect. These two positions were put back in mainly because the administrators bailed our butts out for 2 years in a row. They bailed our butts out. I'd like to know their thoughts on this through Mr. Amo, and then have Mr. Amo come back with a recommendation for the board, whether it's at the retreat or that's only give them a couple of days. But at some point, I think the administrators are well aware these positions were taken out of this year's budget. The only reason they were put back in is because of concessions that were given. With them knowing that this is probably a one-year position, I hadn't thought of the option of somebody already within the district maybe moving into there. Maybe that's an option from knowing this person may know a little bit more about our disciplinary system as compared to just hiring somebody off the street saying, listen, this is more than likely a one-year job. Bringing them in, having them basically not knowing anything for the year, the other administrators are going to have to pick up the slack anyways. So would they rather just pick up the slack now because that's more than likely what's going to happen next year and us try to work on keeping the one that we have somehow? Seeing how well this plays out and works out, I don't know. I think I would like the input from the administrators, like I said, through Mr. Amo, and if they think they can handle it themselves, maybe that's the way we go. And we'll know when he brings us back a recommendation.
I got that note.
Eric? I think I share Steve's concerns, especially with the whole idea that it may only be a one-year position. So by the time you get that person trained, they're gone. And if they think it's a one-year position, they're probably only looking for the next position. Not that I blame them, but that is the fiscal reality. I mean, I really like the idea of, you know, could it be shared, the assistant principal be shared between two schools? Is it possible to have a teacher do some of that, be almost, I guess, 70% teacher, 30% assistant principal, something along those lines? I mean, I don't know how easy it is to do all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. I mean, my only experience is through private schools where basically you can do all sorts of things. You don't have all these restrictions and things like that. And so you have, oh, that's the senior teacher. They're also the assistant principal. And that's just the way it works. But it's, I like the idea. I'm fearful of just replacing somebody knowing full well that there's a good chance it's only 1 year. And I really like the idea of if we can do a split, then possibly down the road, we at least keep one assistant principal, which is better than having none next year.
We've done what you're suggesting before with interim principals, I believe.
Before my time, I'd have to defer if the board. The question was whether has the district had the circumstance I described at the end, which was have a teacher on a leave, if you will, assume a temporary assignment in administration. Yes.
Oh, we did it for the athletic director. Yeah. That's my position.
I'm not sure.
Ed, do you have any comments to make on this?
I'm kind of jumping into this.
Yes.
News, because I know it's going on. So I'd have to defer to get some more information on it. But the only thing that does concern me is that the changes that were made this past year were strongly influenced by a contractual understanding with the administration group. So that has to be viewed at, you know, I mean, it's almost like you don't want to default on it, so to speak, right? But you also have to keep in mind the best interest, fiscal interest of the school as well. I don't know yet. I can't really make an opinion on it.
Kathy?
I think with APPR coming up, with the amount of time commitment involved, especially being a new process, that it's going to be very difficult for our principals to share that along with the new duty. So I really think that we should really investigate the safety, the quality of discipline, all that stuff, encompassing the new objectives that we have this year.
April, any comment?
No. What's the time frame in which we have to make this?
We don't.
We don't have
our carries.
We could start the year.
That's my question.
Especially if we get somebody
from the Pauline's turn.
Yeah, I would go along with Steve, ask principals how they feel about it. Like Kathy said, with the APPR coming, and last year we just put in PBIS, which, you know, was a lot of picking on the principal, the assistant principals. I think it should be looked at.
Well, I think everything has been said. I do agree with what Steve said, and we'll wait to see what you come forward with. One of the things I want to say about the assistant principal, I think she's sitting back there, and I would like to thank you for your tenure with us.
Tracy, thank you.
Good luck. I would just like to extend my appreciation and thanks to the board and my fellow administrative team. You've got a great team over here, and I love the comments of asking for their input, because it's definitely appreciated and valued. So. Thank you to the community for supporting me, and
good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item, hosting area school districts.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, well.
Brief information. Last year, the Peru Central School Districts served as a host for area school districts and board or board representative members to gather around conversations that originally started with, we're all going to be facing difficult budget years. Are there ways in which we could think about either new collaborative relationships and or what are you doing that you save some money on that's a thought. We never thought of that before. So it was a great conversation. As a result of that, one of the comments made and seemed to be echoed by those in attendance was that it should be an annual event, and perhaps it would be even better to rotate the host site for that event. And so I put it, it's brought forward for you to know that that occurred. We're into a new school year, and at any point that the board, if you so are inclined, would like to explore it and or arrange it, I certainly can take that initiative and make communication to the various school districts and, you know, do the invitation scenario. If the interest is to do so, I would want at least some input, maybe through a committee, I'm not sure the format, but if you have particular agenda items that you would like to make that meeting useful for everybody, particularly if you're hosting it as a board, you may have particular items that you may not want to leave to chance that doesn't come up, if you will. So one of the advantages of being a host is you get the first shot at saying what's on the agenda. And so it's really a two-part conversation. If we want to do this again, I certainly can take that initiative, make the communications, and extend the invitation. To do that, it's either firm up a date now for that invitation or to send out the invitation letter with a promise that I'll be informing them when that date will be at some future point. So there you have it.
I attended that with you in the last year, and I think it was very informative. We did discuss different items, one of them being bus mechanics, to be able to work on our buses. We are checking in through BOCES. We're trying to get some information on that, if it would be more feasible, because we have to send it down to the main outfit down here, MA Jerry's, and it's anywhere from, up to $10,000 there for bus?
About $8,500 to $9,000 for that.
So I do believe if we were able to get something like this out of the area, we probably could save some money there. All the schools would save money on that there. So that was one area. There's other areas if people come up with ideas that could be used like that.
What do they charge? It's like $120 an hour? Something like that?
I couldn't tell.
For MA Jerry?
Yeah, they're around $100 an hour.
Yes,
I think given the current economic climate, all the schools are facing the same challenges that we are. I think this is exciting and it's important, and I'm hoping to do this at our school sooner rather than later.
Well, we had 5 schools involved the last time. My recommendation is we get at least up to 8 this time here. Get some of the little smaller schools around involved with us also.
Absolutely.
And we could come up with more dates to get them here and make sure that we work around the dates a little bit more, maybe so we can try to get everybody here.
Yep.
Be good.
Actually, that meeting was an invitation-only meeting. It wasn't a public meeting. It wasn't open. It was a working meeting.
Right.
It involved president, vice president of the board, superintendent, and a business official.
Do we want to
do that? 8 schools times 4 people was a lot of people around the table throwing ideas and trying to keep in a
Well, there was an audience, format. But there was no, if the audience wanted to listen, there's
but no participation.
Yes. Right. Right, there were no
because there was so much to using the people.
Would we want any participation from the audience?
The people that were at Peru were there for the announcement that was at the board meeting that had just preceded it, which was the change in superintendence.
Yeah.
Wrong meeting.
Our participation would be to set our agenda items with.
Yeah, I know what I mean, but we're going to invite the public down.
No, we didn't. It wasn't at Peru.
It was. It was open. It was open.
I think it should be open.
It was open.
I don't think they have to participate because I think they should be able to hear it.
Yeah.
The terms, I think, I didn't bring my paperwork from A. Paul Scott, who was the superintendent, but he's pretty thorough on laying out the ground rules, et cetera, on what he was attempting to accomplish. And I think he responded, in fact, to individuals who in his own community who had requested, gee, we heard about this thing, can we come? And he specifically had outlined the intention was dialogue for board members, et cetera, only. And that was the only reason why he was saying there's really nothing you're going to be doing tonight other than watching. So if you want to watch, you can. But it was his invitation to that select group, if you will, to get around and have a chance to kind of let their hair down, so to speak, and not be concerned about reactions and and comments, et cetera, that might otherwise occur. He just said, look, we're all the board, we're all who we are. Lay out your thoughts and just chat about them without any certainty of where this is going to go.
The press was there, and they did put an article in the paper on
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I understand. I was very excited when I heard you all talking about that at the time that it was happening, and actually was going to attend, thinking it was an open meeting. And when I found out that it wasn't, it was explained to me at the time by Mr. Driscoll that the purpose of not
making... The board president.
Yes, of Peru, yes. Yeah. That the purpose was so of not making it open to the public was so that people could have candid discussion, of throwing some things out there that maybe would the public would react to before it was even determined if it was something schools might be able to act upon or would move forward with. I understand that point of view, but then you're right, the press was there, so Richard's probably right. We'd have to do something like that in an open forum.
I think we'd be violating some sunshine laws if we didn't at
least... Well, there was no majority from any school at that.
I know, but you still negotiated basically for your school. That's what you're doing. So I mean,
but there was no real topics. There was more discussion.
Yeah.
Right.
Because once this discussion, it wouldn't have to technically be open. Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to just be open so that people...
And then look over trying to hide something.
Okay, well, I think we need to ask you to carry that to the other schools.
Are there any general timelines in terms of,
when we get the both of them together?
Coming up on the opening of school, probably we'll have a lot of people pretty busy with their school sites, so I'm speaking as if I know.
It's not September.
Sometime after October.
It's going to happen. I would propose it would be later than, sometime October 4th.
October is usually a good month. Okay.
Second half of October.
You want me to shoot for something in October?
I think some October dates in October.
Yeah.
We're almost there already.
All right. We're going to go on to the fitness center. There were some questions on the fitness center.
Bringing up again to speed where we are with the fitness center, and again, lingering interest, if you will, that different patrons in the community might have about what can we do about it. What is there to be done with it, I guess would be the way back to the question now. We have a fitness center that used to have in the budget a coordinator, and that person's stipend position, and that person's responsibility was to arrange for the volunteers to be present, to be sure that when the fitness center was open in the evening, that in fact people with CPR training, first aid training, AED training, etc., were there, and also just to provide the checking in and the checking out and the responsibilities. I mean, you don't want to wait falling on someone with nobody around, to put it very simply. So the coordinator was did many of those tasks and organized all that. When the coordinator's position was eliminated, that then came the question of what to do with a fitness center that has nobody that's a district employee staffing it, if you will. A lot of ideas were kicked around at that time. Some of them you're familiar with and you've heard, some you've thought of yourself, I'm sure. But the most prevailing idea that kept coming up was, maybe we can get volunteers in the community to be the coordinators, if you will, and arrange all of that. There's pluses and minuses to that. There are pluses and minuses to most ideas, so this one is one of them. The responsibility for consistency of service would be an issue that might fall on the negative side, unless there was absolute certainty that whoever was coordinating on a volunteer basis could in fact make the commitment that he or she is expecting to make, and not have last minute changes that they go, whoops, life condition has come up, I can't be there tonight. It's how do we communicate to all the people who are falling into a schedule, assuming that just go to the fitness center. Maybe they didn't read their emails, maybe they didn't do anything. They just showed up and the doors are locked. That's not good PR for the district or the community, and it's not the intention to create that negative PR, but it's a reality about volunteering positions. They're as good as the individuals are able to commit to that, and let's face it, it's volunteers, so you've got that downside to it. The plus side, obviously, is that it doesn't cost anything for a system that is working, that if in fact the system can be developed where individuals can keep the fitness center open, consistent with board policy, and meet those commitments, and we don't have any glitches, then we have the board has an opportunity to think how it wants its evening hours to be available for the community. Last year, the board did adopt a policy reflecting the use of the fitness center by our own staff members, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'll do my best from memory. One of the conditions for the that policy was that coaches and supervisors of student activities who were going to be present when the center was in operation would be, they could bring their students or student athletes, if, as the case may be, as long as they were there. They were the supervisor of that period. And also, as kind of a perk, if you will, my term, if they did that, anybody who did volunteer to make that service available could have that an evening time that was specified in the policy available for their own personal use. So in other words, I agreed to take a group of students in. I'll supervise this activity for this two-hour period of time. And in part, in return for that, not only with the service for the students, but in turn, I get a chance to myself take advantage of the equipment that's in the fitness center. So that's in the board policy. We didn't have, by way of history, we didn't have sign-ups for that option. And so that thing, it just really never happened. All that occurred was the fitness center was open for students who had supervising teachers for the events that they were there for. That could be the Wilderness Club, for example, and I'm sure the athletic, you could name all the sport teams that might be involved with using the fitness center. They would have coaches there saying, oh, we're using it, so we're here, we're good for this. We also, the board in that policy, I believe, adopted a building, a facilities use a fee, if you will, for use of the facility. Very nominal for groups other than the district that wanted to use any of our facilities, but it didn't cover, by design, I think I'm correct, it did not cover the fitness center because of these issues that I just described. So I only bring it up because we're opening up a new school year. And you may, as board members, be asked the question, again, what can we do, what is there to be done relative to the fitness center? That's my history up to the moment, and that's a topic for you to pick up from there.
Is it still $10,000 if we hire somebody?
I think the fee, the stipend for that is, Joanne, help me, is that a posted amount that the board offers as opposed to, it's not a contractual item. It's whatever the board wants to offer as a stipend.
But that's what it was for that.
Well, it
started at that, and I think it went down.
Yeah, we cut it to
like $7,500 or $7,000.
It was cut, and it went from a level to less of a level to an elimination of the budget. And so, it's your question. I believe the board could establish what it chooses to be, and it's whoever is certified and wants to do it for that amount could be considered.
Pauline? It seems to me there was something to do with the contingency budget. It had to do with the fitness center.
That was the first year that it was eliminated from the budget. Part of the contingency requirement was the community education was not allowed to be included in a contingency.
Okay,
so that was for the 11.
We can go ahead.
That was for the 11-12 year, but during this spring budget season, we set the budget for 12-13, and that item was not included to put in community education
as a restricted
for
12-13. Category. So we're back to the option.
So we can do it now that we're not.
We didn't build, whatever.
It's illegal.
Right.
Or volunteer. And there was some interest from SUNY of maybe setting up an internship program with using students that are in their phys ed programs.
And they may and potentially, they would might meet all those requirements and then have, get their credits or whatever, and that's
exactly
free to us, but.
Cassie?
Okay, I'll take that note.
If I like the idea of SUNY interns, that sounds nice. My question is, would they still have to go through the same educational screening and things
fingerprinting,
like that?
Fingerprinting, et cetera, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure.
How long is that process?
To do it?
Yes.
Oh, it's, a couple of weeks max. It used to take a lot longer, but it's going faster now.
Getting fingerprints back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, Joanne, we're still about a two-week cycle now. Yeah, they're getting them back.
We have a cold server.
They are responsible to get the fingerprints, but they're sent in electronically to the CD, and then they give a confirmation. That part's not lengthy. The lengthier, comparable to that same period of time would be they check on the credentials for AED, CPR, etc. Now, having said that, we would, if we're exploring that one option, SUNY internship partnership, then I would ask them to do all that legwork and say, you have an interest, we have an interest, you make us an offer of how you can assure that these following conditions can be met through your internship program and at no cost. And I would ask almost like a request for their proposal. We can then bring that kind of information back to the board and you'd say, here's what we know if SUNY was going to be the person doing this.
And if we have qualified community volunteers who have been through this training, could we consider them?
That's a question. That's for you to decide. I just did the the couple of yes and no, good and bad, not so good ideas associated with that. But that's your call.
Part of it is we've used them in the past, for volunteers. Is Tracy still back there?
Yeah, Tracy was the person.
Yeah. How did we use the volunteers?
For the community?
For the community center.
So when I was a coordinator, I just generated interest, and then they went through a training. They had to have CPR and AED training, and then I constructed a schedule and on a rotating basis, and it's pretty easy.
Now, did they need fingerprinting or anything to go with the adults?
No, because the adults were only working with community members, and that's why we were so strict about not allowing students in during those
right.
community hours.
There you go.
Which that would be an issue with these fingerprints.
There you go. So I think
I can speak a little bit on the SUNY piece if you would like a little more information. I'm a faculty member at the college as well, and I teach a course for the fitness leadership program that you're referring to. The students in that program do have to do clinical rotations, and this certainly would benefit. It would certainly fit perfectly in the experiences that they have to endure. And so I've had personal conversations with Ken Baldwin, actually for a few years now, with regard to this, and another student that's in the major as well. So I know that it's a conversation that has been going on for a while, but he would certainly be the person to contact. His name is Kenneth Baldwin. He is the coordinator of the program. He would be the person to contact to set all of that up.
We'd have to supplement those students with additional community volunteers to cover things like college breaks and whatnot.
Yes, for sure.
And Tracy, if I could, on that, with your information, and thank you, do you know if the internship, if you will, comes with the college providing that person responsible for the supervision of the intern, or is the intern the person?
Generally, when they go out to their sites, there is someone who supervises them. So that is going to be your sticking point. You're going to have to probably provide someone on site who would supervise them, and that would probably be in the best interest of the district, especially if you are going to have them working with children.
I thank you. It accomplished what I was hoping for, which was understanding what our parameters are with that.
It's supervisors.
So when you look at it, you need a set of coordinators.
Yeah,
you need
a set of coordinators.
I don't know.
Thank you, Tracy. Eric?
It seems like there's definitely been some interest among the board. But we're going to need to task either a committee or an individual to compile some of this stuff together. Would this fall under operations committee? I mean, I know I have to be on it. And I know every time I say it, everybody goes, darn it, it's always operations.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
I would be willing to try and put that information together. Maybe that's content.
We love volunteers.
Yeah. You wouldn't be a committee. You'd just be you.
So, for example, like I could at least contact Kenneth, or I could walk
in and
we could begin some stuff. Just so that the board has a, so we're not putting that, hey, Mr. Raymond, go do this. At least then I'm there, and if he says, we should go meet, especially because this may take time, and, as school gets closer, it's going to be really.
I nominate him.
Well, we don't do that.
And Debbie, too, because she knows. I can help you.
We'll coordinate this together.
Ed, I'm glad you guys brought up about the fingerprinting and all that. I don't think we should forego the due diligence of filtering people anyway, even if children aren't going to be there. It is the best interest of the school. Volunteers will step up. These should be good volunteers. And I don't think it's like $100 to do the fingerprinting.
Yeah, it's not less than that, actually.
It's not the big dollar chunk.
So you're asking that the volunteers pay the $100?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or the school. We can talk about it. But I think the bigger dollar issue is the CPR, all of that. So dropping the background investigation is not worth it, I don't think, if you're worth it. Number two, there was an issue from the feedback that I got of some abuse of people participating in the past that shouldn't have been there because their buddy went and they got dragged along with them. And we've got to have a better way of making sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Well, we all supposedly, again, Tracy, in order, I'm sorry to keep bothering you, but don't they have to register and be in order to be able to use the facility? They've got to be a resident?
They have to be a resident, and there's a series of paperwork that they have to provide, and they go on designated training evenings that the coordinator would schedule throughout the academic year. So there'd be trainings. I think Shanna was doing it on Saturdays or Sundays. But they come with their paperwork, and they have to go through the training, and then the community members.
But they do have to prove residency.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a model. It was.
That doesn't mean that it happened.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it happened.
And they did well.
And the last one was what happened? What was the response from the staff about participating if they brought their students and they could get their? Why did that not have value?
We never knew.
I don't know how to answer that.
No, we signed up.
We did sharing of the policy and sharing of the information. And
just nobody signed up.
Kind of just waited to see. Didn't happen.
Holly.
Yeah, it seems to me we had a problem with people using it when it was closed. On Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah, that was last year. That was last year when it was a contingency budget. If we remember, 2 years ago when there was no contingency budget, when we had the money for a site coordinator, this thing worked perfectly. Nothing works perfectly, I guess, but this thing worked really good. You had volunteers for the community. They were always there. The site coordinator made sure of that. I think if we could put everything in place that was there 2 years ago, everything would work fine. Whether we have some type of a stipend for a site coordinator or not, I don't know. But I know that worked out very good. It's going to be hard to find one volunteer to take that all on as a volunteer, making sure the place is open every time, making sure that the volunteers who signed up that night are there and that things are being done properly. That's why we paid somebody to do that. And everything worked out, to my knowledge, everything worked out very good. Community liked it. Now, I don't know. We got $5,000 to pay somebody, maybe, and somebody would actually accept to be the site coordinator for that? I don't know.
Well, let's let them get together and find out what they can find out, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing is I'm willing to look at if we can't get any volunteers to pay somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We'll let them see.
We'll have to discuss it, but I mean, I don't think we're going to get out of hand somebody. Okay.
Any other additional items? I have one. On July 10th, we asked Gary Lambert to give us some list of absences. And I would like to ask the superintendent to get us a list of absences and vacation for the last 2 years and supply them to us, because I think that needs looking into. That did concern me with all the absences I see there, so I think that we really need to take a good look at that, and so I think it needs to be furnished to us so that we can.
For yes. Everybody, all staff, everybody.
For the whole, everybody. The school, the complete school.
The only thing that I would add to that is I think there might be some useful points as to knowing what are required absences versus perhaps sickness versus some of the different things. So, for example, I mean, if there's in student teaching or something along those lines, are there instances where you have to get a substitute?
You'll have
for a teacher because they're out doing something else
related to their job. So they're not absent from the job. They've just been requested to do something else.
Right. So you
have my understanding of the request is that you'll have all of those options with the printout to determine what it means to you.
Okay, that's what I'm
But it will. It is clearly denoted purpose, etc. But you'll have data, if I'm following the question.
Yes.
You'll have data for you to
draw
your own
conclusions. Well, it's just that it was such a amount there, I just think that we need to take a look at that.
Yep. Okay.
To clarify, so are you asking for just a total tally, or are you asking for a discretized amount on each day over the last 2 years?
For person.
For person. All personnel. No money.
So he doesn't figure out per day. What he wants to know is, I have 300 staff members. How many days did that person take? And maybe how many of those were because of this, that? Maybe it's all, you know, whatever it is.
But okay, what I'm getting at is it doesn't give you a perspective of, it can give you a perspective of allocation on a yearly basis. It doesn't give you a perspective of authorized allocation on a per month, per week, or whatever.
Right.
I'm trying to understand. Well,
you're going to have the month or week. I mean, you're going to have the when they were absent.
Well, I don't know if that's what you're asking him to furnish.
Yes, okay. That's what I'm asking.
All right. So just to be clear.
The last thing on that, then, since that's going to be a lot of data, it needs to be in a useful format.
Well,
a PDF is not a useful format.
I do believe that there is already something that is.
Well, what I'm saying, I'm sure you can. I'm just saying when it's presented to us. So, for example, if it's in Excel, then I could start doing tallies and I could look at total monthly absences. I could see that certain weeks were really bad. I could see it's certain individuals. But if instead I have all of this stuff and it's not very good, then you're going to really struggle analyzing it from a PDF.
That's the intent of the information.
I mean, the idea is to get it in Excel or Access.
Just need to clarify because I know Ms. Hamel will come to us with
the
request.
Well, it's going to come native in that format anyway before they transfer to somewhere else.
That's where the work would be, taking what is already available in one format.
It's easier to give the raw format than to try to
back in a different format.
You want the data exported from our system into an Excel format rather than a PDF format.
Actually,
so that you can perform,
it'll be easier, whatever native format it is, typically before it goes into a CVS, it's going to be ASCII, just delimiterized.
You want a canned report out of the attendance system.
Because it's going to be unfiltered. Because it'll take you more time to do anything with it, and it's more useful when it's raw.
Okay. I mean, you can always follow up after that.
Exactly.
If you want it changed.
Sub-report.
Because we're going to have to summarize that. I mean, perfectly blunt, you're going to have thousands of lines of information, and you're going to want to summarize it. I do it for a living, going through thousands of lines, but it's always in some sort of electronic format, and so that you can kind of summarize it.
Let's get our information, and we'll see where we go. Okay. No other additions? Oops. Yes.
Just to note in the minutes, is it the board president's recommendation that the committee appointments made in July, where Mrs. Armstrong's name appears, that Ed Marin just replaces her?
Yes.
All
it
the
is.
Committees where she's listed.
Yes. Okay. That's exactly it.
Did we ever actually accept that resignation?
We don't have to.
We don't have to. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We record it.
Yeah.
Into the minutes, but there's no.
I mean, it becomes a.
It doesn't have to be a like we do for some of these other positions.
No, it doesn't have to. No.
Okay.
Her resignation made it open.
The meeting is this Thursday at 4:00, right? Is that what
it's
read?
Yes.
So since I just found out about participating again, I didn't have that time allocated. So. I will not be there unless I can change something around. However, if there's an agenda and I can respond to it, an email to everybody, I'd like to at least do that.
I don't think we have a formal agenda, do we?
We do have an agenda.
We do?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's very simple.
Basically, goals.
No, I understand that. We have the old goals, and we can have what we want to amend to it.
Yeah.
But if there are any thoughts that anybody wants to address, it would be a good idea to have those go through email before the meeting so everybody has time to think about it and go over.
Because I don't
think this brings up discussion we had last meeting about email and communication, and that's one of the goals that we need to set, I think, is getting a better method of communication. Because you're right, email is perfect, but not everybody's utilizing it.
Sure, that's okay. You're right. I'll do what I can, but I'm saying I can't guarantee. I mean, I didn't even know there was this much of a discussion about petitions. I'm coming in.
Well, let me ask this for the rest of the board that said Thursday night was the night. Steve is not able to make that. Now you're telling me you're not able.
I don't care if you reschedule.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to discuss what happened, but there is a possibility I can't make it. But I won't know probably till Thursday night. Do you want to reschedule?
Yeah, you bet.
I think if there's a chance you can't make it, then we're down to six.
That's a lot of input to miss.
I think it doesn't make sense.
A lot of missing.
Now, the problem is, Debbie has surgery on the
I know. So,
I mean, we'll work around that.
That's why you were hesitant to
make sure she can come. Oh, good. Wow. I mean, I can make this at any time, so it doesn't matter.
Put it off because this was trouble.
But no, I mean, it's
let's put it off till we meet again, or else at least talk about it together.
How about
and
wait 2 weeks
everybody comes
from
up at
that
least
Thursday?
One
good
idea.
Well, Thursday is a bad time.
Oh,
for
Thursday
Steve.
In general is
I can't
bad.
Do Thursday.
Oh.
So let's.
Wednesdays? Any? What is there a night that's good?
For like the next week,
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
See, since there's only one board meeting a month now, maybe on a Tuesday for another board meeting.
Is Tuesday the 21st?
That's not the 21st.
No, the 21st. That's where it run into her
October.
Surgery.
28th.
Why don't we go into October?
Just do it later. That's all. It's not a big hurry with it.
September, October.
Not a big hurry with it.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. All right, let's move this on. We got to go to public comment.
Can we just have a motion to cancel the meeting because I've already advertised everything out? I've advertised.
I make a motion to cancel the meeting.
Need a second?
Second
from Eric.
Sorry, Dwayne.
All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, public comment.
Hi, my name is Holly Sims, and I think most of you know who I am. My first comment is to Mr. Levine and the snipe he made about United for the Kids. I found that comment offensive, unacceptable, unprofessional, and an embarrassment. Much like the complaint levied against him by the teacher from Seton Catholic after he heckled the Seton Catholic athletes on the sports field and referred to them as farm animals. And if anybody wants to hear that complaint, they can go to the audio from September 24th, a couple years ago. If you can't hear it, let me know. I have a copy. As to the discussion to fill the vacant seat, you are all public servants. It is the right and the duty of the residents to let our public servants know how we feel about various topics and issues. We are exercising our rights, and the inability for many of you to accept that is appalling. The fact that many of you minimize the input received from the public continues to show your gross arrogance. Until such time that you will allow for open, honest, and transparent communication with the public, you will continue to be viewed with skepticism and cynicism.
Any other comments?
Yes, good evening. Debbie Womack, CEO of a local company, proud mom of two Beekman Town graduates, very successful children. I'm here tonight. I did sign the petition. I've not addressed the board in the past. I've been in board meetings, however. Was a bit offended by the comments tonight. Very surprised. I also serve on several local boards as a community person in the region, on some with the folks here in the room. And we all have choices, I think, in life to become divisive or uniting. And I encourage our board to unite. Mr. President, your leadership is going to be crucial this year. You've got a lot of work ahead, and it's going to be really important. And I heard a comment tonight that we need to just say yes to Mr. Amel. I have a lot of respect for Mr. Amel, as I do with a lot of the administrators in the room. However, the function of the board is to be a sounding board, as a check and balance, as the voice of the public. And we are the public. We're proud of our school. We're nervous about our students. The percentage of conversation that actually involves students is embarrassingly low. So I encourage everybody to refocus. We're behind you. We've elected you. Congratulations on your new appointment. I would have preferred that that went back out to vote. I think that we do have a voice, and we need to share it. So thank you for volunteering, and good night.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yes, I'm actually reading something that
State your name, please.
Well, my name is Diane Quarta, but I'm reading a statement from Joseph Quarta. He actually wanted to come to the meeting tonight and was not able to because he had to go to work. So he had written something down, and he asked me if I would read it for him. And I think if he had been here, he might have changed some of the things, but basically the message is here what he wanted to say. And this is from Joseph Quarta, and he says, "You are all elected officials, and there is one commonality between every elected official, from school boards to city council to Congress and even the presidency. They all have the privilege of serving those communities that voted them into office, a privilege which they, nor nobody else, is entitled to. That is why a democratic vote to replace the resigning board member is so important, so that a board member is not given the responsibility of serving the community without the consent of community members. The citizens of the Beekmantown School District have the right to vote a new board member or re-elect a previous board member. However, it would be an abuse of the school board's power to hand out the responsibility and privilege without the consent of the community. This is a precedent I do not want to see here in the school board of Beekmantown or in the United States or Congress. The democratic process of election must be carried down from the presidency and Congress to the school board sitting in front of us." And I would just like, that ends his statement, and I would just like to say that the democratic process, he learned about that while he was a student here at Beekmantown. And I think he would have been very disappointed by what he witnessed here tonight with what went on. He is a young man that is now venturing out to the world and starting to be interested in politics and things like that, and an interest that he did receive here at Beekmantown from the education he received and open discussions that they were having classrooms. And again, I think he would be disappointed. As myself, now speaking of myself, I'm Diane Quarta, and my comments with tonight is it's good to see Mr. Moran back on the board there. I do believe when he was on the board before, he always asked, he had thoughtful questions, he had good questions, and I think he did put some of you to where you really had to think. So I do not have a problem with him per se. I do have a problem with the process. This board had been asked previously, many times last year, for transparency and communication, and I think that is still severely lacking. A comment was made earlier about, you know, nobody coming forward. How can people in the community come forward when issues are not put out there for the community to see? I find it very ironic that I just happened to find out by a fluke that there was a resignation on the board and that this process was going to be done. But yet, ironically, today, in an automated email from Beekmantown Central School, I received a supply list for, well, I don't have a student anymore, but for what my students would need. Now, I think if we have the capability to send out a supply list through an automated email, that this school should be able to send out issues that are could be considered of importance to the people. And I think that this board does know that this is an issue that would have been considered important to the voting public, especially when you saw the turnout that we had in the May election. I also find that the public comment, when it was asked for public comment to be done before the board had their discussion and then did their vote, that was turned down by the board. Now, the message that I received from that, I can't speak from anybody else sitting here, but the message that I received was that the members of the board could care less about what I have to say, could care less about what my son had to say or what anybody else had to say. That was such a simple thing that would have made a big impression on everybody if you had just said, all right, let's have, even if you weren't going to listen to us anyway, but to just make a pretense of listening to the people. So, and actually, I tried to teach my children to be responsible citizens, to be involved in their community, to volunteer, to get involved in things like this, to stand up and speak out. And so my son actually tried to make an effort to do that on paper. So tonight I get to go home and tell him, well, guess what? The time and effort that you put to write this up, the members of your school board, because now that he's not a student anymore and he is a voter, this is his school board. The members of your school board could not even be bothered to hear your opinion or your thoughts on this matter before they went ahead and did their discussion and vote. They chose instead to listen to your thoughts and comments after they had already made their decision. Which basically, what that also says is that this decision was made before you even walked into this room tonight. That's just my opinion.
Anybody else?
Gary Judds, and I live in the town of Plattsburgh. After attending this meeting, with some of the bickering that went on over certain matters, you people are about as dysfunctional as Congress is in Washington. You know? And I have nothing against Ed. I had a lot of discussions with him when he was on the school board and everything. My only point is that I feel that it should have been still left up to the public. Now, seeing that Ed was sitting here at the board, my opinion is that he obviously knew that these certain five people were going to vote for him, and there would only be either a couple of abstentions or three members voting against him. So it was all cut and dry. Like I say, I'm nothing against Ed, but personally, it's against the other board members. And as far as the discussion over Mr. Slattery, I talked to him. He's a heck of a nice person. But when there was some comment made about the possibility of going into executive session, all of a sudden, the same five people voted against it. You spent more time talking about the fitness center, which came up later, than the matter of somebody's employment. To me, that's totally dysfunctional. And as far as Steve Trombley making the statement that only 50 people voted on that or voiced that on the internet, there was quite a few people that signed a petition. And it isn't only the same 50 or 100. There were names on the petition, on the written petition, that have nothing to do with the United for the Kids organization. And for the comments that you made, knocking us down, and that people supposedly come to you and said that the numbers...
Please refer that to come to the board and not into just one board member.
Okay, well, about the comments that Mr. Levine made about certain numbers that were given out about class sizes and everything, all that information was foiled. So, seeing it was foiled, if the information is wrong, well, where did it come from? It came from the information that was foiled. Everything that was put out was legit. And I think that the person that put out the right information. Thank you.
Okay, that's the end of our comment tonight. Oh, Ricky, okay. Go ahead.
Just 1 minute. Ricky Marin, I'd just like to encourage everyone, you may be upset with how the process went, and yes, I'm Ed's wife, but I'm a voter. I am my own personal advocate for what I believe in, and I too had questions, but I went to the state regulations and laws and found my answers. They're within their right to do what they did, whether we like it or not. They're within their right. So if you really want to make change, we should be talking to the state about those changes, because they can't make those changes, the state can.
All right, thank you. We have another executive session. Right?
Discussing employment history.
Yeah.
No? Okay, I'm okay.
Yes. Yep. We are going to be discussing employment history of an individual, and we'll need to go into executive session.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
We need a clerk.
Clerk pro temp.
Leonard.
Yeah, me too. Executive session.
Okay, motion by Steve, seconded by Richard, or myself, the clerk pro tem. All in favor?
Aye.
Now executive session, we need a motion to go in.
I move to go in executive.
Same Steve and Richard.
Leonard, there will be no action taken after executive session.
There will be no action taken after executive session.